So how many of you like rains?
Yes.
Oh.
Great. This is 2 weeks.
Oh, this is 2 weeks? Well, I guess those who are farmers, I guess they like rain. It's because they want water. So we were looking at processor design. So we want to design a processor, and last time we got started on it. And this is what we had done so far. Okay, let me draw it again. So there are two processors we are going to design, and this is one of them. So this is what we will call single cycle processor design. So the instructions are pointed by the program counter, and there are two memories. So one memory is the instruction memory, which we have here. One of them is the instruction memory, which we have here. And here, of course, we have the read addresses. Now, this is a read-only memory because it has only the programs, so program is only read. We are assuming we are not modifying the programs, and somehow programs get loaded in the memory, and we are also not worried about that part. So this is instruction memory. Now, do you think it makes sense to have a computer where you cannot change the program? Sure, in some applications, the whole program is in the ROM, right? So in some cases, that is actually the case. But in any case, this is just a simplified, just a simple design. Next design we will see, we will be able to write, it will be a single memory, and we will write into that also. So anyway, so here we have the instructions coming out. So here we have the instructions, and all 32 bits there. And I guess I should say 32 here. And now these instructions go to different, these bits go to different places. And we will talk about a control unit that I'm going to put right here. Let's not worry about it now. Do you have enough space to squeeze things in there? I hope so. Now here we have the register array. So this is a two-port register array. So you can read two registers at the same time. And so here is a read register one, and here is a read register two, and here so here we have those 5 bits, 5 bits, because we have 32 registers. And here we have a write register. So I will sometimes abbreviate to keep things from getting too, okay, this is E-register 1. Here is a multiplexer, and so the write address can come from either one specific field in the instruction or it can come from another specific field. Remember, we have when we write into a register, there are two situations. We have an R-type instruction, for example, add two numbers and put the result in the third register. And then we have another instruction. We have a load instruction, when we bring something from the memory and load it into a register. So appropriate fields here. And so this is actually the same as this, or maybe if you prefer, I could indicate it this way. Let me see. I guess the way I had it there, that was fine. As long as you label things correctly. So for example, I want to label these bits 21 to 26. So instructions, bits 21 to 26 and 16. Bits 16 to 20. Oh, I need a bigger diagram. 21 to 20. Oh, why? And here bits 20 to 16. And here, these are bits instruction 15 to 11. Now remember that we have the instruction formats, and those are things that we are keeping in mind. And here we have the instruction format. So for the R type instructions, remember, we have the opcode is bits 26 to 31, and we have RS, we have RT, we have RD, and then we have shift amount. Let's not worry about that. And something called the function code, and the function code goes between bits 0 to 5. RD goes from 11 to 15. And RT goes from 16 to 20. Oops. Sorry about that. And RS goes from 21 to 25. Okay. Now remember, you can address two registers at the same time. So you address this register, which is 25 to 21. So this is register RS. Bits 20 to 16, this is the second register, which we are calling there register RT. So this is register RT. Now in some cases, RT is also the destination register. Let me show you. Okay, let's see. Load instruction. Or let's make it load store. Now, load and store instructions, they use the I-type instruction format, and in case of load and store instructions, the offset is in this field, and then we have two registers, an opcode RS and RT, and notice that if you look at the definition of load word, in load word,
This is the destination for load world.
RT.
So, 20 to 16 gives you the address of the destination register. In case it is the load instruction, right? Okay. And now, continuing further. Now here we have the ALU, and we read data 1, you can read two registers at the same time. You read data 2, because it has two read addresses, so you can read two of them. And now here we have a choice, in other words, a multiplexer. And here is your big ALU. So that is the ALU. And now, here is the multiplexer. And now sometimes we want to take bits 0 to 15. So this is instructions bits 0 to 15. Sometimes we want to take those, and we want to do a sign extension. So basically we convert 16 to 32. And after sign extending it, now we are going to need this sometimes. And we will be adding it to contents of a register. Okay, which instruction would use this? Can you guess? Take contents of a register, add an offset to it. Load and store instructions, right? Because we have the offset. And let's see here, and we are also going to need it for something else, so we will figure that out shortly. But let's continue with the ALU, and let's say here's the ALU result. For example, result of an addition or subtraction. And here we have the data memory. That's the instruction memory, and this is the data memory. And this is how we are going to address the data memory. So you access the data memory when you want to do a load or a store. Both of them involve accessing the memory, right? Okay, and here is the data read. So read data. And here is write data. And as we had seen last time, we need a multiplexer here. And the information that is written into the write register is here. So this is the write data. So notice, when you write into a register, you have to supply the address. This is the address. And this is the data. So this here is the write data.
Now notice that we started working on this processor last time, right? So we had spent so far about, would you say half an hour? And we are going to spend another half an hour on it. So we will have a whole processor designed in 1 hour. Right? Okay. How long does it take for the Intel people to design, how many man hours does it take for Intel to design one new processor? So it takes an enormous number of man hours to, and of course they have a big team and tools and everything.
That's because they're slackers.
Yeah, yeah, they're not working as fast as we are, right? So but this is of course a small example, but this is the process. So you have to basically divide the design into pieces and then design it piece by piece, put the pieces together, make sure that you have the components that you need. For example, we need ALU, we put the ALU here. We need a register array, we put the register array there. And then you have to make sure that you have all the data paths needed through which the data can flow. So this is what we are doing. And now here, let me have this come from here. So sometimes you take contents of a register and store it in the memory. Store what? Right? Take contents of a register, store it in a memory location. And okay, now let's take care of the program counter. So program counter, a lot of times, as we were saying, we just incremented by 4. So this is just an error. And the reason is that the next instruction often is the instruction with address, current address plus 4. Now sometimes we will instead need to do a branch. Right? How do we do a branch? What is the format we have for branch? Okay. How do the branch instructions look like? Branch. Okay, we have only one branch instruction, right? And what is that? We have branch on equal. So branch, if these two registers are equal, and now how do we specify where to branch to? We specify it using offset, right? So it says, but take this. Take this and do what? Take this and basically add it to program counter plus 4. Right? So let's do that. So we have the branch address. And remember, actually the offset is in terms of the number of words, not number of bytes. So we need to do a little bit of work there. So we have done the sign extension. And let's turn that into the number of bytes. So shift left by 2 bits. So we insert 2 zeros at the least significant side. And now this is the offset, and this is what you would be adding if there is a branch instruction. So this is an error. And this is the result of the error. And we have this thing coming in. And
But of course, this we will use
to load the program counter only if there is a branch instruction.
Right? So only if this control line is 1, in that case we will take this. Otherwise, we will take this and put that in the program counter.
So notice, either we will put program counter plus 4 in the program counter in the next clock cycle, or we are going to put program counter plus 4 plus some offset, which is necessary for doing a branch. Right? Okay. And so let's take a look at, see if we have specified all the things here. Ah, there's something we haven't specified. Where is this coming from? So sometimes we do things like this, but may perform an addition or subtraction, and the result is placed in a register. So we have to make sure all the data paths are there. And now we can design the control part. So this is the data flow design. And now we need to design the control part. And so what we will do, notice that here, now what are the things that are necessary for us to figure out? We have taken care of these fields already, right? RSR, TRD, we have put them in there. Function, when do we use the function field? When do we use this? Notice if you look at the instructions for add, subtract, and. So for example, let us say, let me show you add instruction. And if you look up in that green card that you have, you will notice that the operation code is 0. And then of course you have RS, RT, RD, and then of course you have the shift amount, and then here you have the function. And if it is add, then this is 0, and the function field happens to be 20. 20 hexadecimal, is that correct? Let's see, 20 hexadecimal. Add is 20 hexadecimal. Okay, now if you compare that, for example, with any of the arithmetic logic instructions, so for example, subtract. Okay, how does subtract look like? This is still 0, same operation code. And you will notice that subtract, looking in the green card here, is 22 hexadecimal, and so on. So notice that for these R-type, we call them R-type instructions. So we make a distinction among the R-type instructions using the function code, right? And and other decisions we make using opcode. So here we have the opcode. And so let us put in the control part. And now this is what we want to put in. So we will take the operation code, which we have here, which is instructions. I need a bigger diagram so I can see clearly. Instruction bits 26 to 31. Instruction 26 to 31. So those are the bits here.
And I'm going to put a large combinational block. And since I don't have enough space, so I'll make it small, but it's supposed to be large.
And I'm going to generate a number of control signals. And okay, here are the control signals we need. Okay, and I'm using a different color. So you can,
I need a register write signal here. So this is REGWRITE, and this comes from here.
So this is a control signal, right?
So these things are, so this is now the control unit. Now another control signal we need is coming here, and let me call it register destination. So this is actually, let me call that register destination, DST, REGDST. And should I go ahead and connect that? Okay. So now this is a control signal. Now if you look in the book they use two colors. And they use one color for basically most of the data. And for control signals, they use a different color. And that's actually a good idea. So when you draw your diagrams, you use a different color to show control signals. And the reason is that you have the data flow. So far we have mostly shown the data flow. And now we are putting in the control flow. So now here, so we are going to, the control unit is going to decide whether we select this or this. And control unit will make a decision based on the operation code. So for example, whether this is a one of the R type instructions or whether this is a load instruction. So looking at this field here, you should be able to know whether this is an R type instruction or a load store. R type instruction is always zero, right? So for R type, this is always zero. And this is of course whatever you have for load and store. So we will generate appropriate control signals. Now we need some more control signals. Okay, let's identify the control signals. We need, okay, when do you branch? Branch if equal to. Right? That means you compare two registers, and actually you do the comparison by doing a subtraction. And if the result of the subtraction is zero, we will have this zero signal become one. And if this zero signal is one, and if we have a branch instruction, okay, watch this. A branch instruction. This is an AND gate. So if the zero signal is one, and if you are currently have a branch instruction, in this case we will have this control signal called branch, which would be one, and when those two are one, a branch would happen. Okay, I had asked this question before. How many of you like to build things? Like I see you are one of those. Okay, who else likes to build things? Oh, you guys don't like to build things? Okay, how many of you have purchased a
one of those pieces of furniture which you have to assemble. Okay, how many of you enjoy assembling those furniture? Well, if you are patient and if you follow the directions, it is fun, right? But you have to. So you cannot take a guess that okay, I'm going to put this component here and just take a hammer and bang it and it will work. No, you have to logically connect everything, right?
Unless
you come up with a unique design.
I didn't say functional, I just said unique.
And actually, digital circuits are not that hard, because digital circuits, they behave fairly predictably. If you have an AND gate, it will basically do an AND, work like an AND gate, as long as your connection is right. So, okay, so we're working on the control part. Now we need to do a memory read and a memory write. So here is the, okay, here is a, let me call this memory read, M-E-M-R-E-A-D, and let me have a control signal called M-E-M write. And now, since there isn't enough space here, let me just put them like this so that you know that they are there. And also, we need to figure out what goes here. And this control signal, we are going to call ADU source. So this we are going to call ALUSRC, because it controls the source for this port of the ALU. So we give control signals appropriate names, and then, okay, we got ALU source and memory read and memory write, we have put them in. And then there is a control signal called memory to register, MEM to REG, and this control signal, let's have it here. So we got that. Okay, let's see if we have gotten all of them. We got register write, we got ALU source, memory write. Okay, now we need to do something more. How do we need to figure out the ALU operation. Remember the ALU design we did? It's the same ALU we are using. So this ALU has four inputs. And remember the four inputs we have for the ALU? And so we are using exactly the same ALU. However, we need to figure out, we need to have some logic. So we select the right ALU function. And what we will do, now this is part of the control logic. We will have some control logic here. And let me, put the ALU control here. So we need to generate these four bits to select the right operations. For example, for some instructions, we need to perform a subtract. So you need to do a subtract for the subtract instruction. You need to do a subtract for the branch or equal to instruction, and so on. Now here, what we will do, now notice, for R-type instructions, this field determines what you want to do. If it is hexadecimal 20, you want to do an add. If it is hexadecimal 22, you want to do a subtraction, and so on. So what we will do, we will have two things coming into here. And one of them would be instruction bits 15
to 0, I'm sorry, instruction bits 5 to 0, so instructions, instruction bit 5 to 0, so we have those 6 bits coming there, so those are those 6 bits, function. So depending on the function and depending on a pair of lines, we are going to have a pair of lines come in, and let me have a pair, this pair of lines. And this pair of lines we are going to call ELUR, two lines. And let me get them through the control unit. Okay, here. So ELUR. So now, the rest of the design problem, we need to design this combinational circuit and we need to design this combinational circuit. Right? And we need to design these combinational circuits so that we will do the correct operation. But before we do that, let's see if we have any questions. Questions on this?
I actually have a question about the R-type. I don't think we've gone over, what is the SHAMT?
Oh, shift amount.
Oh, that shift amount.
SHAMT. Okay, who remembers shift amount? Shift amount.
That's just how many.
That is when you use for the shift instructions.
Yeah, so I kept trying to sit there and go, what in the world would that
be? Yeah, yeah, that's kind of like, unless you are using shift, that is kind of like a gap. So you have some instruction bits which are not being used. That happens because sometimes you have some instruction bits which get used in some other context but not in the present one. So so unless you are using a shift instruction, those bits are not used. Okay, so now we need, next we need to come up with the control design. And okay, how do you know how to design combinational circuits? Of course you know. Yeah, you are experts in designing combinational circuits by now. All you need to do is to get a truth table, basically input-output relationship, and put it through your crank and crank out the design. So you know the algorithm. So if you want to minimize, you know about the Carnot map, and if there are too many variables, Carnot maps are good if you have, let's say, 4 variables. But if you have more, there are programs available. So it's not, designing a combination circuit is not a big deal. Basically, we know the algorithm. And if you have to get a program for minimizing combinational circuits, you can check on the web and you should be able to find one. Basically what we need to do, the real challenge, is in coming up with the truth table for this and the truth table for this. And once we have obtained the truth table, then I will tell you that go ahead and implement those truth tables using whatever way you want to design. Maybe you want to implement them using PLA, that's fine. Whatever way you like. So we will get the truth tables next. Any questions? Okay, so which one should we work on first? There are two blocks of combinational logic that we need to design. Okay, let's work on this one. Let's look at ELU control. So we need to get the ELU control.
Okay, would be nice if I can have the table without erasing the diagram. That would be convenient. Okay, so let me get that here. Okay, there are two set of inputs. ALU up. Okay, I'm going to have a truth table here. Inputs on this side, outputs on this side. And outputs are called ALU control. I'll just put some comment here. And ALU pop, those two bits, function. And basically that's what we need. And I will add some words there which are not really part of the truth table, but they are just for convenience. Now notice that for load word and store word, these instructions, what do we do with the function code, those 6 bits? We don't use them, right? That field has no significance if it is a load and store, load or store instruction. And we are going to select ALU up equal to 00, and later we will figure out when to generate ALU up equal to 00. So those are the 2 bits here. So I have chosen to keep them 00. So basically when I design the other part, so right now we are designing this one. Later when we will design this, then we will make sure that when you are doing a load word or a store word, you generate these 2 bits to be 00, right? Okay, now in this case, what do you want ALU control? Now remember that you have the ALU that you had before. Okay, I don't know if you guys still remember the ALU. The ALU we had designed, it had 4 inputs and operation. And as you will remember, when all inputs were 0, you can go back and check in your notes. We performed an OR operation. Now notice that these two are what we call the operation. This was what we call A invert, and we call this B invert. Remember these lines? And this is our add, and this 0110, this is subtract. Remember, this is your B invert line. And 0111, and this was on set on less than. Now in that ALU, we also have the capability of doing a NOR operation. We are not using the NOR operation. So we don't have to use all the operations. So whenever you use a building block, now sometimes, generally, the building blocks are designed to be general. In a given application like this, it is common that you use some of all possible capabilities. You don't have to use all the capabilities, but only use whatever you need. So this is the ALU. Okay, so for load word and store word, what do you want ALU to do? What do you want this to do? For load word and store word.
to give us a proper memory location.
So you're saying we want to take what is coming out of a register at the offset so that we can address the memory location. That is, in other words, we want to perform an addition, right? So we want to perform an addition. So, and to do an addition, what do we need? 0010. Okay, take a look at this row and see if you have any questions. Questions so far? Remember, we already have the ALU already designed. So we are taking out our design, and this is the ALU specification, and we are using that here. Since we want to perform an add, you have to choose these four lines to be 0010. Now remember, you should be able to fill tables like this. So if you have questions about why we are putting something in a table, this would be a good time to ask. Okay, let's see if you guys can do it. Branch 1 equal to. Okay, let's see if you guys are following what we are doing. In this case, again, we don't use the function. Let's assume we want, we have chosen ALU up to be 1. What do you want ALU control branch 1 equal to? Well, actually, remember, for branching, this is where we are doing the offset.
Right.
So for branching, we are doing the offset here.
You have to subtract
to take care of. Okay, yeah. So you need to do a subtraction and see if the result is 0. And how do we do a subtraction? So what do we choose here?
0, 1, 1, 0,
right? Okay. Subtraction. Okay, now let's consider this R-type instruction, which is ALU. And for R-type, we are going to choose ALU up to be 1, 0. Now ALU, do we know what is the function code for ALU? You look that up in that green card, and the function code for ALU happens to be 20 hex, which is this. Right? Okay, now what do you want ALU to do for the add instruction?
Add the 2,
right? And to add, we of course know that we need to do 0010. Okay, now let's do the subtract instruction. Function code for subtract is 100010. And we are going to keep operation ALU up 1, 0. And what do you want? You want subtract 0, 1, 1, 0. So we do subtract here. Logical AND. The operation code in this green card for AND is 100, 100. Keep this one zero, and we want to do a logical AND, which requires us to have this. And for logical OR, the function code is this, and ALU control. How do we do OR? 0001. And finally, we are not doing jump. So what we will do right now, we have forgotten about jump. So later we will revise the design and put jump instruction in. So we are just doing branch. Set on less than. That's again an R-type instruction.
the function code is given to us as this, and for set on what operation should we do, what ALU operation should we select for set on less than? But obviously set on less than, right? Which is 0111.
You should have a question about that.
Okay.
The set on less than, what operation do we do?
Yeah, the thing is that if I ask any simple questions in the exam, then sometimes people think that, oh, there must be more to it. So, remember, in an exam, I cannot guarantee that answers will not be simple, right? So it is possible that some questions may have an answer which may be simple. Actually, if you think about, do you think you can go and work for Intel and design processors there? How many of you feel confident with that, with a little bit more, let's say, training or whatever, you can go there and start designing processors? Basically, this is basically what they do. And of course, they have the tools and some of the other things. But ultimately, it comes down to this. You need to have the right data path. Your data signals flowing through it appropriately, and you need to have the right control signals. So you need to take care of the control signals. And basically, of course, their designs are bigger, and our design is simpler. So instead of using 5 million man hours, we are going to churn out this design in 2 man hours. Well, actually, I guess it is actually authors have done it for us. But we are kind of pretending that we are doing it. Questions so far? Okay. So now, this is the truth table, right? So this is the truth table. So then you go ahead and implement this truth table using perhaps a PLA if you want. So you design it using a PLA. Now these things are don't cares. So that means you don't have to implement those, and so on. So you can design it whatever way you like, but basically, we are done. The input-output relationship we have given, so you can get the design. And now let's do, now this is actually more interesting. Let's do this design control part. But before we do that, let us see if we have any questions on the table for ALU control. Now, incidentally, you will find the corresponding thing in the book, but I have kind of simplified things, so and I have put the pieces together so that we can follow things conveniently. Questions on the ALU control design? Okay, now let us go ahead and design this control part. And we are going to need a bigger table for this. Do I have to erase the whole thing? Okay, let me erase. I wonder if I can squeeze everything here if I write really small. Maybe not. Let me see. Let me see. Okay. Okay.
Okay, let me try to squeeze in a table here. Now, we want to have let me hope it works. Now we want to design this control part. Input is bits 31 to 26. Now we have a name for this field. What do we call this field? Yeah, the operation code, right? The opcode. And of course, these are the control signals. So this is what we need to do. So we need to have the opcode here. And for opcode for R format, the opcode happens to be all zeros. So how many zeros is that? Is that six zeros? Okay. And now let me have a column for each of the control signals there, and let me see if how small I can write. Register destination. I don't know if everyone can read this. IGDST. Okay. ALU source. SRC. And memory to register, memory to register, and then we have register write. And then we have two signals. Memory write and memory read. So memory read. So memory read and memory write. Well, looks like this is going to work. And then we have a branch thing. Branch. Okay. And then we have two bits, ALU op, ALU op 0 and ALU op 1. ALU op 0 and 1. Okay, so let's fill the first row. Now, what control signals do we need to perform an R format instruction? For example, add contents of two registers, put the result in the destination register.
The first one.
Okay, register destination. Now, where was the register destination? Was it something that we erased? Register destination is. Now this one here was what was this signal here? That signal was memory to register, which is this one here. Okay. Where is register destination? Which is this is the register destination signal. Okay, what do you want? Do you want this to be 0 or 1 for all format instructions? Okay, how many if you say 0? Let's take a vote. Okay, answer is easy. All you need to do is to take a look at your green card and figure out what is the destination. Is the destination given by bits 16 to 20, or is it given by 11 to 15? Okay, you guys seem to be saying 11 to 15, and that is correct, right? This one. So you are saying that we need a 1 here. Okay, everyone agrees with this? Remember that somewhere, maybe in the quiz, maybe in the final, or maybe in the whatever, in the homework, there would be some question where you have to fill in the tables, right? So you should be able to fill these tables. And actually, filling these tables is not hard, provided you know what these ones and zeros represent. So for example, I have gotten this one there, and let us see if you guys are happy with this one. So questions about this one? You think that looks like the right thing to do? Okay, okay. What about ALU source? This is the ALU source. Now you are doing something like this plus this. So what do you want for ALU source? Can't add, so something work, do something with contents of two registers. So you want that to be zero? ALU source? Okay, what about memory to register? Now remember here, you are writing into the register array. What you are writing into the register array can either come from memory or can come from ALU output. So do you want it from ALU output or do you want it coming from memory? You're saying ALU output. So for example, if you have added contents of two registers, then that is available here. And that is what we want to put back in, right? So that is a 1, right? Because this, we, let me be consistent with the book. Did I make this 0? Let me make this a 1. I just noticed that I think in the book they have just to be consistent with the book, I should check other multiplexers. I think it's what they have in the book. So we want our, of course, logically it doesn't make a difference. We just make, we'll do it consistently.
Right.
But it would be convenient to have this match with what we have in the book. Okay, just to match it with the book, memory to register, we want to pick the lower one, which is a 0. Okay, what about register write? So are we writing into a register? Yes. So we make this 1. Okay, memory read, memory write. Are we doing a memory read?
No.
Are we doing a memory write?
No.
So we are not doing either of them. Okay. Branch, are we doing a branch? You're not doing a branch. And ALU R. Now here, remember, we have created a table which is in front of us, which I erased. So remember, when you do a design, you don't do a design from memory, right? So basically, you have your design documents in front of you. So you have your tables. So like the table for the ALU you have here, the table we had designed here, that is here. So these are your design documents. And you work with your design documents to come up with your design. So I don't think the Intel engineers remember the entire design of Pentium.
Why not?
So maybe they might, at one time, when they are working on one part of it, maybe one engineer may remember some details. But for the whole, it's a collection of design documents with tables, charts, whatever. So we are not doing it from memory, right? We are doing it using design documents. So according to our design document that we had, the table we had earlier, and we have it in front of us now, we need to have a 1-0. So this is what we need to perform. Now remember, the instruction will take one cycle. So we call this design a single cycle design. Each instruction takes one and exactly one cycle. We will come to that question, is this a good design or not? But this is a single cycle design. Questions on this implementation of this? Okay, now let's try load word instruction. And for load word, the combination I believe is 23 hexadecimal. So that's, how much is 23 hexadecimal? Is it this one here? Load word? 23 hexadecimal?
Yes.
Okay, so that is correct. Okay, so what control signals do you want? Okay, go ahead, fill those in, and let's see what you get. Okay, for load word, a register destination, which is this one here. Remember, this is a register destination. What do you want for load word? Do you want this to be 0 or 1? Remember, it's the other one. So you, instead of that 1, you are now going to need a 0, right?
Correct.
You need to pick this one. This bits 16 to 20, they give you now the destination. So this is a 0. And ALU source here. Now let's see, what do we need for ALU source? Now this is a load word. So when we say a load word, we have, we take contents of a register, and we have the offset, and we are adding the offset, and we will then access a memory location, right? So would you say that we want to choose this to be 1?
Yep.
ALU source? Okay, we want ALU source to be 1. Okay, memory to register, which is this one. And if you will think about it, we will need this to be 1, because now it is coming from the memory. So now we want this to become from here. And let me go ahead and fill the rest. Okay, memory. Okay, I'm going to fill this in, and I'm going to make one mistake. So you, when you go home, check the table, and let's see if next time you have found out the mistake, right? Okay, so let me go ahead and fill this in, because we are running out of time. So, let's see, how much time do we have?
5 minutes.
Okay, so let me go ahead and fill this in, and let me make one mistake, and let me see if you guys can find it. Okay, where are we? We are here. Register write should be a 1, we are writing a register. Memory read we are doing, no memory write. And 0, 0, 0. And store word, the combination is it 2B hexadecimal? 2B. B is A is 10, so B is 11, right? 8 and 3, that should be 11. Oh, did I say that I'm going to make one mistake? Okay, I don't guarantee that. In case I have more than one mistake, you have to find it. Right?
Which you do on purpose, of course.
Okay, so where are we? We are doing stored word. And branch unequal to, which is combination is 4, which is, well, let's see, this is 4, right? Yeah, that looks like 4. Now notice here, register destination, which is this line here. If you are not writing into the register array, what should you choose here? You are not writing into the register array. So what should you have coming in into the right register address? Answer is that it doesn't matter, right? If you're not going to activate this, it doesn't matter what is coming here, right? So we are going to put a don't care there. That's why I have the don't care. It doesn't matter what you put there. So you can choose that this to be 1, you can choose this to be 0. In either case, it will work fine. Okay, there is our design for the control part. So we have, okay, so we have the input, output part. So we have the truth table for this combinational logic. And once you have the truth table, then you go ahead and design it, maybe using a PLA or whatever is your favorite combinational circuit design technique. So you just go ahead and implement it. So the rest of the part, once you have the truth table, rest of the combinational design is straightforward. Questions on this? Okay, so find the mistake here, and we will continue. So next time we are going to do a critique of this design. So is this a good design? Can we improve on it? And then we will see another design, which actually would be a somewhat more, well, it is going to be a better design. So so this will work, but it has some inefficiency, as we will see. So we'll continue next time. Oh, and we should have a quiz coming up soon.